glad to be with you. We want to especially welcome all of our guests, whether you're just traveling through or you're from the local area. Thank you for choosing to come and to be part of our worship this morning. I don't care how many song leader training programs I go to, I'm never going to lead songs as well as Larry. Thank you for those great songs. And it is good to sing this morning about God and His comfort towards us. If you take your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll get started in just a second. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13 and in verse 14, we're going to deal this morning with how the Bible helps us with our anxieties. Maybe you're like me, and one of the phrases you miss hearing Eric say when he was preaching with us was that Christianity just has greater resources. I think that will just stick with me. Christianity has greater resources. One great example of this is here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13. The Bible says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." What is Paul's point here? It's not that Christians will never grieve. We're going to experience grief in our life. But when we come up against that struggle, we grieve with a hope. A hope that is based in Jesus Christ and a hope that is based in His resurrection. As Eric would say, we just have greater resources. That's kind of my approach for our topic this morning. If you take your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 6, that's where we're going to be for the vast majority of the lesson. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 down to verse 34. It's not that Christians never deal with worry or anxiety. The Bible says far too much about that topic for us to think that we're never going to wrestle with this. Some of those worries or anxieties are what we would call small or daily worries. They're just the things that are common to all people. And I want to be very respectful this morning. I understand that for some of us, our worries and anxieties are much more intense. Sometimes there are tremendous concerns and there are very significant and deep issues that are almost paralyzing for us. But wherever we fall on that spectrum, we need to understand that Christ has something to contribute here in how we face those anxieties. Let's read beginning in Matthew chapter 6 with verse 24. You'll remember that Jesus has been talking here at the Sermon on the Mount about storing up treasures in heaven. So He says in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and wealth. And for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet," here's the phrase, "yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Now, we'll keep reading, but stop with me for a moment. When I talk about refocusing as part of our approach of dealing with our anxieties, I want you to see something. There are going to be strategies presented in this section of Jesus' sermon. Things that we can do that will help us, and we will talk about the strategies. But more than just strategies, there is this additional resource. Jesus is focusing us on verse 26, your heavenly Father. As we read this, notice how much our Father cares and how much Jesus is going to emphasize that yes, you're worried, but you're not alone. Notice how much our Father can be trusted. That yes, this thing is difficult, and yes, it's a challenge, but you have promised, and I believe, as we've sung, He can be trusted. Notice that Jesus is going to emphasize a Father who provides. That it's not just all on your shoulders, and it's not something you have to do individually, but that there is a God that is on our side, as Dave talked about at our Lord's Supper talk. And notice that there's a Father who shields. That there are some things that are just outside of our control. And so He is protective of us in shielding us from some of those concerns and some of those worries. We have greater resources because we have a Heavenly Father. Pick up in verse 26 again. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I hope that you'll understand as we cover this concept this morning, that no matter what thing you might find yourself stressed out about, worried about, or feeling even that paralyzing anxiety about, you're not alone. There are others that share in those same kind of struggles. And there is a Father who sees. The Father is emphasized in verse 26. And He's emphasized again in verse 32. If you've already checked your email this morning, it was about 8:15 when I sent out an email to the whole congregation. Andy Cantrell has just a fantastic sermon on Psalm 139. Where we can see that it's not just Jesus telling His disciples, hey, you need to look to the Father. But David himself, David in Psalm 139 decides, you know, in my anxieties, in my fears, in my worries, I need to come back and remember the Father. And so in the email I sent this morning, there's a link. And I would just encourage you sometime this week, please listen to that sermon. I'm not going to try to re-preach his sermon, but I will point out just a couple of things from Psalm 139. If you would take your Bibles back there for a moment. Psalm 139. Look down with me at verse 23 and verse 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24. David is facing a lot of enemies, people who hate God and therefore they hate him. And he says in verse 23 of Psalm 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. What he is looking at is to say, God, you see and you know my anxieties. And in my anxieties and in my worries, I might make a really bad choice, some foolish, sinful, or hurtful choice. But you have a better way for me. All through this psalm, he says, God, you're the one that knows me better than I know myself. Kind of in his intro. He says, God, I remember that you're the one that is with me in my darkest moments. Come down to verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God is the one who has made us, has woven us as a reflection of His glory. God is the one who cares for us. And here's our pleas. God is the one that will direct us in the way of life. Again, I'm not going to re-preach his sermon, but guys, David knows that he has greater resources to face his anxieties because he has a Father. So what is it specifically in Matthew 6 that Jesus is trying to show us about our Father that can help us overcome our anxieties? Well, I think really the first thing is that he is bringing peace to our priorities. You might have noticed in Matthew chapter 6, back in verse 25, that after he talks about laying up treasure in heaven, he says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried." Well, what launches Jesus into this discussion of our worry or our anxiety, especially about our daily needs, is that we have this struggle for what we're seeking after. We have this struggle in verse 22 and verse 23 where he talks about our eye on what we're focused on. He says, you know, if you're focused on worthless things, then it's just going to kind of eat you from the inside out. It's just going to darken your life. But if you're focused on the right things, it fills you back up. He's saying because we get so focused on the wrong things, we get worried. So the very first thing he does in verse 25 and verse 26 is bring peace back to our priorities. He doesn't want us just focused on pleasing our peers. He doesn't want us focused on impressing people. I think about it all the times a little league kid gets up to that plate and he's got his bat and he's going to, you know, try not to strike out. He's trying, yes, to score a run for his team, but he's also trying not to embarrass himself, right? Sometimes our worries or anxieties just come from that social pressure of who's around. Well, in chapter 6, verse 1, the Pharisees were so focused on saying a prayer that everybody else thinks was a good prayer, or on doing good works that everybody else would notice. And Jesus says, no, it's your Father that needs to hear that prayer. It's your Father that needs to see these good works. Stop thinking so much about what everybody else believes. That's not the priority. In verse 19 through 24, he says, I know you get concerned about your health. I know you get concerned about your finances. But again, that's just not worth being anxious about. You have a higher, a greater priority. You have a Father that can take care of these things. There is just peace in coming back and making the decision in verse 24. I serve God. And I think it's wonderful for us to know that He's the one we lean on. He's the one we cry with. He's the one we pray to when things are difficult. Wealth is not a rock to really build a life on. Jesus is, right? The earthly treasure is not a place to truly place our hope. It's looking ahead to the hope that is possible because of Jesus' resurrection. He brings peace to our priorities. Now, I think this next point is even harder. Have you ever been riding in the car with somebody and they're kind of swerving? Or you're riding in the car with somebody and they're starting to nod off, and ultimately you just, like, you've hit the wake-up bumps one too many times until finally you look at them and you say, let me drive. Maybe you're teaching your teenager and you say, stop, get out, let me drive. A lot of times when we have worry or fear, we want control. Let me drive. But have you ever been the person trying to stay awake? The person trying to keep it between the lanes? And you find that it gets more and more difficult. And you look over to someone else in the car and say, would you please drive? The next point Jesus makes for us in Matthew chapter 6 is that He will give us confidence, but not necessarily control. Our confidence is not because we are in the driver's seat all the time. Our confidence is not because we know exactly how to make all of our plans come about exactly how we hoped, with no difficulties along the path. It seems that God knows the difficulties we need to go through, that our faith would be strengthened and our character refined. Look at Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 27. Are you in control? Who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? I understand that we would like the control, but I think we have to accept that God is the one in control. God is the one that is in charge of our well-being. God is the one that is in charge of our daily provisions. He's in charge of it for the birds of the air. He's in charge of it for the lilies of the field. He was in charge of it for Solomon on his throne. And He is in charge of it for us. So yes, we have responsibilities, and yes, we're told to take certain actions to be a responsible citizen. But guys, our confidence is in Him. And at first that feels difficult. But I think after you consider it for a moment, you realize, yeah, it's in His hands, and that's exactly who should be in the driver's seat. He's the one I want in control. Really, if I have to choose, do I want Philip totally in control of my well-being, or do I want God? Definitely God. Do I want Philip totally in control of my health? No, I want God. And so Jesus says, no, you're not going to be in control. But you can have confidence that He knows our needs, because He sees the needs of all of His creation. And you can have confidence that, this is remarkable to me, you can have confidence that He will overcome the law of sowing and reaping. Like God set that in order in creation, that what you sow is what you're going to reap, and whatever you sow, you usually reap more of it. And so we think, that's right, you got to put this in your 401k so that later you reap for retirement. Like the actual picture here in Matthew chapter 6 is that the birds aren't sowing and they're not reaping, but God is still taking care of them. I cannot find a single other place in the Bible where it says that God would overturn or overrule the law of sowing and reaping. But He does here for His people, because He's the one that is in control. We have confidence because He is the Father that we acknowledge when things feel out of control. We have confidence because He is the one that adorns each part of creation as He sees fit. We have confidence that even if we find ourselves humble, despised, and rejected as His Son did, that He is enough. And that if we were homeless and poor, that if we have Jesus, that is enough. That if we're in the shoes of Job, Job was humbled and rejoiced when he realized that God was in control. So sometimes we really want to take the wheel. And sometimes we really want to be in control. But our confidence is not in our control. It's in our Heavenly Father. What else does He do? Pick up in verse 31. When our anxieties arise, He gives peace to our priorities. He gives us confidence, but not control. He elevates our ambitions. He elevates our ambitions. Verse 31. So do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? What is verse 31? Now, I've tried to be extremely respectful in this lesson, and I hope this continues to come across. I do understand people that wrestle with tremendous anxieties. I don't want to talk about that for a minute. I want to talk about something else. In verse 31, I want to talk about what we have nicknamed now first world problems, right? First world problems is when you just can't find a charger for your iPhone, right? First world problems is when they don't have your favorite item on the menu at Chick-fil-A and you have to get a different thing that someone else cooked deliciously for you, right? These are first world problems. And what Jesus says is actually, guys, a lot of the things we get anxious and worried about, aren't they a little too small? Shouldn't you be elevating your ambitions, the things that you are pursuing? Not all of our worries, but let's be honest, many of our worries, sometimes they just come from getting too worked up about the wrong things. And one of the strategies that Jesus is giving to us, yes, is to look to the Father, but one of them is to just recognize, wait a minute, if our worries are centered on our wealth or our luxury or our popularity, then we're really spending too much time focused on the wrong things. Read with me again in verse 32. The Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things, all these things. Verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What am I going to be concerned about? I want to be concerned about the lost souls around me. I want to be concerned about the sins that keep creeping into my life. I want to be concerned about how I can continue to grow. My favorite way of explaining this seek first concept is about the Olympic athlete that has decided, I am first and foremost pursuing that gold medal, and my pursuit of that medal, it regulates everything else in my life. My pursuit of that medal determines when I get up and when I go to bed. It determines the people I spend time with and the exercises I do. It determines the food I put into my body because I'm aiming for that gold. Jesus wants me to pursue righteousness. And that pursuit of righteousness, that's going to determine how I manage everything else. That's going to determine what's going on with my kids and my marriage and my finances. All that other stuff. I am seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And that overriding pursuit causes all those first world problems to sift back down and just not feel so serious and just not stir up so much anxiety. I am thankful that Jesus is elevating our ambitions. And then finally this morning, I have one more thing to emphasize here in verse 34. Jesus doesn't just elevate our ambitions. He hits the brake on our runaway brains. Don't you love a good Western movie with a runaway train and the hero has to come and ride his horse? And I don't know how you get a horse that fast, but he has to ride his horse and jump on the train and grab the brakes. You know, or the guy that has to lasso this cattle that's just running away. Jesus hits the brakes on our brains when time amplifies our worries. So many times our worries are not amplified just by our circumstances or by an individual problem, but they are amplified by time. And time is mentioned over and over in this section. Look back at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. That's a time thing. Look at verse 27. Add a single hour. That's a time thing. Verse 30. You clothe the grass of the field alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace. There's a time reference. And finally, verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I know I'm not alone in this, guys. That when I feel worried and when I feel anxious, it's because my brain is like that runaway train, not just thinking about what's in front of me, but where that's going to lead to tomorrow and next month and in this next decade. And Jesus says, wait, hit the brakes. Don't go past today. Come back and consider what you should be doing today in pursuing righteousness. I think it is our Father who helps us slow down and reconnect with this moment and this day and what is required of us now. We try to be flexible, right, in our goals, in our plans, trusting that His plans and His ways are better than our own. And we try to be attentive and learning as we go through difficulties, knowing that they're temporary and that we can be refined and purified. And we can look at our daily lives and acknowledge that we are far more comfortable than the lives of most of our first century heroes that we read about. And if we would just see what we have today, that's something that we can manage. That's something that we can give profitable concern and attention to. And so I'm really thankful for all of these time references that help us hit the brakes when anxieties arise. So I hope you kind of wind down the lesson today thankful as well. Thankful that our Father hears us. Thankful that He is there, that He's helping us. This was one of the verses from the grace class. Let us draw near with confidence to this throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Yes, we're going to have times of need where we feel anxious. But as Eric would say, we have greater resources. First and foremost, that's our Heavenly Father that we can bring our cares and concerns to. And so I hope the lesson this morning helps you focus on that Father. It may be that there's somebody here this morning that has not been focused on God. And certainly you would say to yourself, I have not been seeking first His kingdom or seeking first His righteousness. But but you're thinking, yes, that's what's missing in my life. And I believe that Jesus is our risen Savior. And I want to confess my faith in Him and make Him that number one first pursuit in my life. If you need to repent of your sins and be buried with Christ in baptism this morning, then please come forward and let us help you as we stand and sing.
My hope is built on the blessed Jesus' blood.